Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome to the VIP Industries Limited Q3 and 9M FY23 earnings conference call. From the senior management, we have with us today Mr. Anindya Datta, Managing Director, and Ms. Neetu Kashiramka, Chief Financial Officer. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anindya Datta, Managing Director, VIP Industries Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking out time and joining the call. I'm assuming all of you have received a copy of the presentation and would have had the time to glance through it. I'm just going to take you through some of the highlights that I've mentioned in the presentation. At the outset, I'm quite happy to announce a good set of results. Our growth continued to be at a high. We had a 32% revenue growth over last year, and even when we compare it with base, it is quite impressive at 22%. Quarter one saw just a 5% growth. Thereafter, in quarter two, we scaled it up to 25, and we now continue to be at 20% plus. In fact, the volume growth on the business has been also quite good, 25% year on year, and almost 18% over base. And just a call out here, this kind of volume growth is happening on a completely altered supply chain at VIP. The revenue performance that I spoke about, if you would have noticed, is quite well-rounded. It's good across brands and channels. Talking about brand first, we would have seen some exciting launches that happened in our portfolio during this quarter. Skybags did a FIFA collection which did very well. In VIP, we had a Highlander, which is a rugged hard luggage. In Carlton, we launched a couple of soft luggage, premium soft luggage range. And icing on the cake was our launch in Caprizi with a range of products by Manish Malhotra. Not only the launches, the activations has been very strong. FIFA was activated with advertisements using endorsers as Kartik Aaryan and many other celebrities. You would have seen some of these activations in Mumbai. We tried to go quite high decibel on it. In fact, the Manish Malhotra launch was far bigger than just the volume, but it was more to drive the imagery on the brand. And I would believe this is the beginning. We would have much more coming up on Caprizi as we go ahead. Overall, at VIP, premium portfolios has started to kick in as we had gone into a very high on driving the value portfolio. That was one key point on Q3. When I talk about channels, once again, all channel has played its role in the growth. In fact, not only the revenue growth, but also adding the strategic element and the task that each of the channel has to do. General trade is leading us into driving penetration and accessibility. It increased its town penetration by 80 more towns in this quarter. Now we stand at about 942 towns. We are aiming to be in every town which is 50,000 plus population. Equally, in EBOs, we have come back to a number of 443 EBOs. This does not include the 42 we have under fit outs right now. Hopefully, we will cross the mark 500, which we have taken the target for the year before March 31st. Pre-COVID, this was the highest store count was 485. Modern trade, another call out. We had some challenge and pressure in quarter one because of the Future Group issue that had kicked in. It's still there, but the good news is modern trade is moving beyond its expected numbers in the year and also above its base without Future Group. And in addition to that, by the end of December, a large part of the Future Group stores that got shut has started coming up. Just to give you some broad numbers, 279 Big Bazaars that used to be there today has come up as Smart Bazaars in terms of 235 in numbers, right? So almost three-fourths of what stores used to be there has come in, and therefore that's going to hopefully help us in the coming quarter. We were strong in these stores, and we should continue our dominance and our relationship with the stores and channel. Along with modern trade, e-commerce is also fired well. Though this is here where we don't think that we have reached our full potential or we are ahead of what our expectation is. So there is a lot that's going on and would continue to happen on e-commerce. On a side note, we also have launched our direct-to-consumer Caprizi, website. And this has kicked in about 4 weeks back, so we are live and we have started to get good, we would say, green shoots at least on the whole D2C business on Caprizi. International business is also doing quite well in its own way. Our strategy of going deeper in our high potential markets seems to be working. And the growth that we are seeing is largely coming from lesser number of countries, but far more deeper. For example, as of now, in a UAE, we are starting to get double-digit market share in ranges in chains like Carrefour and Lulu. Sorry. So that's why on channels, if you briefly talk about our category performance, well, our luggage continues to dominate in the recent past, but we have started seeing some early change of that in terms of soft luggage coming up, and with our supplies picking up in soft luggage, I think that's quite promising. Backpack in particular is looking quite well for us in quarter three as well. Net overall good revenue growth, and highlight here would be, as I started by saying, this is completely on a remodeled supply chain, and I would like to give you some numbers there. Currently, 73% of our volumes in quarter three were supplied by our own manufacturing facility in India and Bangladesh. In a way, this has been the highest ever ratio reported in any quarter. Our capacities as of right now have increased 65%. Our own manufacturing capacities have increased 65% since pandemic. And this year, we would be investing almost 100 crore in this financial year only to increase our capacities. Not everything of this has been spent, but in terms of actioning the spend and increasing the capacities underway, this is almost equally split between India and Bangladesh in terms of 50 crore each. We would have added almost 200,000 square feet of manufacturing space in this year alone. All this is leading to good gross margin, sequential improvement of almost 1.3% and YOY improvement of 0.5%. This is largely happening on account of raw material prices and, thankfully, ocean freight. Overall, in terms of our pricing and realization, we've been positive. in terms of overall expenditure, fixed cost expenditure, I think it has been in line with our increased revenue, increased business. Advertisement expenditure increase is a conscious decision, and I think that's an investment that's going very well into our brands and for our future. Overall, EBITDA margin flow through from above has been lower. One large reason, other than increasing in advertisement, is the provision we did on the Future Group doubtful debt. That's almost taking out 1% out of the EBITDA. The provision we took was of 6 crores. Lastly, I think we expect positive demand environment to continue in the coming quarter or the going quarter. We hopefully would continue on our growth trajectory to end the financial year on a good note and a high note. In terms of concerns, there is the COVID situation in China, which erupted suddenly. We have high dependence on China. However, it seems like it is passing off quickly. Our teams are working on mitigating the risk, and quarter four is more about not just quarter four, but also preparing for a very big quarter one. So that's underway. With this, thank you. I conclude my opening remarks, and I open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, Ananda, my first question is on your gross margins. So, I think they continue to lag as against your expectation of 50 to 55% range which you highlighted in the past. So, is it fair to assume that the majority benefit because of cooling off in raw material prices is yet to play out in your margins?
Yes, Karan. The answer is yes.
And second, you know, as a follow-up, what I wanted to understand is that, so you have 443 EBOs today. Can you help us understand the split between VIP and Carlton EBOs?
VIP and Carlton EBOs is not part of our strategy. We are not doing Carlton EBOs separately. We have done a few more as an experiment. I can tell you the strategic bit, which is company-owned and franchisee, which is what we are driving. So 443 is... The split is 160 and 283.
160 and 283. So you think that there is room for perhaps you know, improvement or cost efficiencies here, where both VIP and Carlton EBOs perhaps can be clubbed in one in certain geographies where you have both the EBOs in the same location?
Current there are extremely few, so therefore that's not something that we are looking at in terms of separately. There are few that we have done Carlton, and maybe yes, there could be opportunities, but we are talking in the order of magnitude of, you know, single-digit numbers.
Sure. So what I'm trying to understand is that, you know, despite roughly perhaps 10% differential in gross margin versus your nearest domestic competitor, I think your EBITDA margins are largely in line with your competitor. So in light of this, perhaps what are the initiatives which you could take to further drive cost efficiency?
Yeah, so I think we're more benchmarking our business and our P&L from that point of view. Revenue growth is absolutely important. Investing behind that growth in a more sure-footed manner, which is building our supply chain and strengthening that, is absolutely important. We have a mix of brands, and other than the value brands, the other brands needs to be advertised both in the form of, you know, brand-building advertising as well as transaction-building advertising, which is more e-commerce. So I think, you know, one is in relation to competition, one is in relation to what is the right thing for the business, and I think this is poised in the right direction. I think as the scale goes up, some of these ratios will start playing up better, and that's what, in the long run, one is looking for.
Sure. So my second question is, you know, on the e-commerce vertical, so we've seen that last quarter e-commerce was 22% in terms of revenue contribution. This quarter is 13%. So I understand there's some seasonality also in this, but can you help us understand if that's, if there has been market share, you know, any change in the market share in the e-commerce segment?
So to answer the first question, you're right, there is a strong seasonality in the sense that maybe more property and, you know, retail property driven. So the big days and all that are really big for e-commerce. So it's not only for one company. I think for overall fashion, for a larger thing, quarter, larger sector or industry, the quarter two is far bigger in the year as far as e-commerce is concerned. So e-commerce overall gained salience in overall market during quarter two for luggage industry. So to that extent, if you have lower share in a sector which is gaining salience, you may tend to lose overall share. But it is, if it is for that quarter, it would even out over a period of time.
Sure. And my last question is for Neetu. If you can help us understand what's the balance receivable from the Future Group, and you know, what was the deferred tax income that was credited to the P&L? If you could explain that, and the lower current tax rate during third quarter.
Yeah, so the lower tax rate is on account of receipt of dividend from Bangladesh, which we are in turn giving it back to our shareholders, and therefore we get the tax benefit, and that's why the effective tax rate is going to be around 18 to 19% for the year.
Sure, and on your Future Group, any balance?
We have around 12 crore of exposure fund.
12 crore. All right.
Yes.
That would be my last question. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line. Please go ahead. Linda Spark, please go ahead.
My first question is a generic one. So if you can touch upon the overall demand environment with specific observations, if you have any on subtrends like premium versus mass end and metro versus non-metro. And last one, how's the seasonality playing out as in most of the categories we are hearing that December, by the time December came, third quarter had a very tough time. So if you can touch upon the subtrends as well.
So Tejas, on the demand part, I think till as they say, fingers crossed, we are looking good. The demand seems to be good throughout the quarter three. And it's getting driven by the same cohorts that has driven the industry in the past. There is increased amount of travel, outing, there is good expenditure on non-weddings. We are also seeing things like a backpack and all that is slowly possibly getting more year-round kind of purchase, and there is, repeat happening. So overall, the demand seems good for the industry, and hopefully it seems like, at least in the near future, while there are talks about, one is reading in the news and seeing there are questions getting raised in the other sectors. I don't see it right now for our industry in the immediate short term. In terms of geographies, yes, there is a tad higher demand in tier 2, tier 3 and downward cities. It's very measurable on my business, but qualitatively we can getting a sense of that. Maybe that's also coming from the unorganized shift to organized, having a better play there or a bigger play there. With more dominance of unorganized in the tier 2 down pop strata cities. Did that answer your question? There was the last question on that.
Yeah.
Yes, I think
And just expanding on that, organized talking has been one of the key drivers for the industry development for the last 3 years.
Sorry, your voice is breaking, teacher.
Your voice is breaking, actually.
Is this better? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So just expanding the, I wanted to know, with China opening up, are you seeing or are you picking up any early trends of unorganized also bouncing back with China sourcing also getting sorted as we go on?
Honestly, not seeing a trend, but yes, keeping a watch out for that, because yes, that could be a possibility. If not a major jump, but it will start fueling what was not fueled so well. So keeping a watch out, but no early signs right now.
Sure. And last one, with the volatility that we have seen in margins in the recent past, how should we go for the penciling margins for this year, and if you can give some color for the next year as well, what will be your guidance around margins?
As I said, I can't give you a definitive number, but it seems in the right track. I think the fundamentals that I've been talking about and what is there on the presentation is continues to be pointing towards a better margin environment going forward in the coming year. The overall commodity and raw material prices are softening. The ocean freight is down, is much lower than before. So, it may not have kicked into the business as of now, but it will as we go ahead. So on one side, the tailwind is prices coming down. On the other side, the headwind is also the mix and, the value category growing and the unorganized sector pushing the growth further. So there will be some kind of set off happening, and it's difficult to predict that part because the volatility is more there and margin is a result of that. What's happening is we are pretty sure, clear that we will want to have a good balance between margin and share, right, and not trading off one for the other. And therefore, we will have to pick and choose our battle depending on how the environment is. So anywhere between 50% to 53% is what we would try and keep the ship on, is how I stand committed.
Sure. And the last one, mainly clarification, ma'am, you said that tax rate for this year will be 8%. Did I hear it correct?
Yeah, you are right.
And then it will normalize by next year?
No, it will be in the range of 18% to 20%. Because we will continue to do this.
Okay. Got it. Thanks and all the best. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Bhargav Buddhadev from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening team and congratulations on a good performance. My first question is on the Caprese brand. So just wanted to know what price points are we sort of targeting when we are looking at significantly scaling up this brand, and also which channel will we be targeting to sort of scale up this brand?
Thanks, Bhargav. Yes, I think it's a very pertinent question because it's something that we are starting off now. So somewhere the Caprese brand may have been going towards, let's say, a price point of 1,000 and below. We are definitely looking at the mid-premium and the slightly above range. So anywhere between, 2,000 to 4,000 range is what will be the mid part of what the brand should have once we get enough scale. And we'll also do enough which is above 5,000 as well. So I won't say we are shifting from a big amount A to B. We're just repositioning ourselves to what the brand started off with, which is, where there is a larger void, where there's a play of great design and great brand, and therefore there is a value creation happening. So that will be, let's say, a sweet spot would be about 2,500 to 3,000 if I was to narrow it down somewhat. That's on the brand and the pricing. In terms of channel, we're looking at more direct to consumer in all form to begin with as we create penetration. So it's not only the e-commerce portals, but that's why we have started experimenting with we have launched our D2C website, and we've done all the preparation in terms of backend to enable its scale up. So that will be another key go-to-market tool. We could also be looking at, and there are some pilots going on where we are looking at exclusive, experience stores, will be in malls, where we would bring in the Caprese premium experience to the consumers. But as I said, that's a pilot stage. If it works commercially, that's something that we could scale up in a big way in the coming future.
Secondly, just wanted to know in terms of what has been the progress in terms of backward integration. So we were looking at manufacturing trolleys and wheels subsequently to further make ourselves more competitive. So where are we in terms of our game plan?
Oh, I can't tell you concrete stuff right now, but that's something that's on. There are a couple of pilots that has happened on that in terms of, understanding what model will work. But you will see me talking about it, or rather doing it in the coming financial year, right? I think we are more focused on making sure that, as I said, availability and the whole supply chain was hugely stressed in terms of us scaling up to the demand. And with every going quarter, I think the demand is higher than what we expected. And so therefore, that has been the big focus. But as we cross that peak in the coming quarter, which is quarter one, these are some of the priorities that will be taken on in a big way.
And lastly, on the e-commerce bit, I believe we are number three in terms of market share on the e-commerce side, which is lower as compared to offline. So any key learnings from some of our competitors where we can sort of take cue and sort of implement them to increase our market share? Or we want to continue to dominate offline and be a third or the second largest player on the online platform?
So, Bhargav, one, I think number three is not something that I see it as, but you're right that there is no definitive data to corroborate that. But one thing is sure that we do not in the other fair share. Whatever I have shared is in the other four channels. I don't have that, and I definitely don't have leadership in e-commerce. So whether it is number two or number three is not so important. I think what you are asking, and the answer is that everything we are doing is to make sure that we strive and get first to our majority share, to our leadership market share, and then to aspire for a fair share within that channel.
So what are we doing to sort of boost up? Because essentially we believe some of our competitors are spending a lot to acquire traffic. So are we going to go into that direction, or we sort of focus more on product launches to create a differentiation?
No, I think we're doing all that is required, as I said. So therefore, if there is spend, then, you know, it's all about the intensity of spend and not about whether one is doing that or not. So whether within the portals like Amazon on Flipkart, are you spending more on performance marketing? So you would have noticed us feeding our brands through, you know, thematic advertising and, you know, other digital mediums, right? But you've not seen, let's say, competition doing too much of, let's say, advertising in other mediums, let's say, till about quarter three. Possibly most of that was getting into e-commerce. We are looking at that. Or rather, we have kind of made our plans to balance it out slightly more in favor of e-commerce going forward. So we will increase our intensity of spend in e-commerce. The other part is portfolio and pricing as well. So there is many. So this is continuously happening. The pivots are the same. I think the continuity and the intensity is important. And as we are going, we're continuously increasing that. So it's not about starting something. It's more about increasing the intensity of what you're doing.
Thank you for the clarification on all the very best.
Thank you, Bart.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So actually just wanted to understand three set of questions. One is, if I look at the manufacturing, so now 73% is by own manufacturing. What is the target, let's say, for FY24-25?
So this 73% is what is the what revenue, what sales has happened. How 73% of that has been manufactured in-house, right? So in terms of pure sourcing, we are looking at an in-house split of about 60% in the coming year, right? And roughly about 20-25% will be outsourced within India. And maybe have about 10 to 15% at the outer limit. This is including Caprese from China. That's the rough breakup, but it's not a limiting thing. So I think depending on what's making more commercial sense, the splits can get altered.
And so would it be right understanding that, hey, you know, if I look at the delta change in manufacturing from pre-COVID till now, that large part of this, and even if you are saving at least what duty arbitrage is there, a large part of that has got deteriorated by the mix of higher share of aristocrat. Is that how it is?
Yes, and also the fact that this is the time where the ocean trade and the inflation was very high.
But would a larger part be the mix part rather than the inflation part? That is what I'm trying to decipher, because if I do the rough math for the margins,
maybe 70% mix and 30% other factors.
But we can examine this closely and come back. But this is our immediate or intuitive judgment to you.
Okay, just two more questions. One is on this future retail stores, or let's say now under the new entity. So how many stores are we reaching now? Because you said you're reaching out 3/4 of the stores, and I think earlier we were doing, I think, 400 odd stores. So how many stores do we reach now?
No, we reach to everything that is open. What I was telling you is that under the banner of Reliance, out of the 279 big bazaars, Smart Bazaar, which is the Reliance banner, is 235 stores, and I reach to all the 235. As and when they are opening the stores, they intend to open all the 279 back.
Okay, so effectively from beginning of year, which was about 45 stores, now you are reaching to 235 stores.
You're right.
Okay, and just one bookkeeping. Neetu, I'm just this insurance, the balance payment, when is that expected to come across?
Hopefully in this quarter.
Okay. So there is no, let's say, contingency or anything like that. It just the timing of thing is the difference.
Yeah, so it's in the slack leg.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks. All the best, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Sada from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. I wanted to know, when you increase your manufacturing, how much can gross margin expand? Because you will have other manufacturing costs which will come and sit in the P&L, right? So just on the material side, the expansion should be a lot more.
Yeah, so therefore the comparison is versus not manufacturing and buying from China. So, you know, the labor cost advantage and the duty arbitrage, was largest. So, you know, it is more compared to our earlier supply chain where we were buying from China. Today we bring in the raw material, make it in Bangladesh and bring it in India. The duty is not there. So there is a 15% advantage in the raw material part of it, which is, like you see, about 50% of our business, right? So that's a definitive advantage. Now, there is a labor cost advantage which could be, you know, offsetting with, you know, increase in freight or other areas, right? So straight away, there is this advantage that is there in manufacturing, at least.
What kind of gross margin will you target? I'm assuming that since you set up the facility, you will prefer to manufacture yourself, right? Given all other things are equal, unless the costs in China really come down.
So like-to-like basis, if the raw material prices are same for both China and Bangladesh, we will have a 3 to 4% benefit if all the other factors remain the same.
Okay. So what kind of gross margin one would look at, say, in 3 years down the road, when things are normal, you know? Right now, inflation is distorting all the numbers. So.
Did you say 3 years?
Yeah, 2-3 years down the road, when things are normalized.
I think then, you know, going back to about a 55% is what we have put as an ambition. We are goal-seeking that, and I think it's all about putting the right strategy at the right time in place to inch up there, along with share and growth.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind the participant to limit your question to 2 per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nihal Mahesh Shyam from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much and good evening to the management. So a couple of questions from my side. First, on the e-com channel, as you're aggressively target to scale that up, what has your experience till now been in terms of, you know, the kind of margins this channel gives up? Because ideally, if you look at a lot of the other categories, there is a lot of discounting and a lot of old season product which ends up getting, say, sold, which ends up impacting the kind of margins you make on this channel. So has your experience till now of the 20% sales that we've seen been similar, or we have seen a different experience? And going forward also, we expect this channel to be non-margin dilutive.
So you're right. There is a pressure on margins in some of you know, channels which is trying to gain let's say volume through attractiveness on price. However, when you see for my business, the net margin, when I take out the direct selling cost in other channels using promoters and all that, I don't see the difference to be so big. In fact, there's, you know, in some quarters the gross margin, the e-commerce margin is a tad better only. So I think in the long run, this is something that is going to not only stay but will grow significantly. It will be a game of getting more scale here, and also to start the premiumization journey here through marketplace operation, right, where the pricing is ruled by the brands and you are listed everywhere. So it's a long journey. It's not long. It's a journey, and I think we. This is not a channel that we had a head start at all, right? So compared to not only within the industry but others, I think we are catching up. And what I see in the long run will become you know, large and a major channel for my consumers to buy VIP products, and therefore we have to get the margin and share both right in this channel.
Got that point. Just a follow-up on this was that currently what are the channel parity practices that we are following? Do we have a different range of SKU itself, or we are trying to keep the pricing similar across our franchise EBOs and the distribution channel?
So increasingly the e-commerce and is separate set of products, because that's where the channel conflict is highest, because the price discovery is the easiest for anybody on e-commerce. But yes, within our other, let's call it the physical channels also, there are ranges which are different. Right? That does add to some complexity, so we're trying to find the right balance between where we would like to see exclusives and where we want to see a common range there. So it's a mix of both. There are some, in non-e-commerce, there are some ranges which are exclusive for that channel, and the rest is common. This mix is only slowly changing in favor of more common products.
Understood. My last question was on Caprese. Do we still have the target of maybe wanting to reach 500 crores of top line in this segment in the next couple of years?
Well, I can't put a number to that, but what you're saying sounds too aggressive. We're trying to see, it's a very, very fragmented market, right? So if at all anything, in 3 years' time, I would like to take an ambition of being in a fragmented market, the brand of choice, the market leader in this. Now, that translates into what crores is something that we'll have to work out and either come back or maybe take as a management target here.
This is just a follow-up, if I may, that if I look at this category, which is say, the ladies' handbag segment, has not seen any brand really scale up beyond the 100-150 crore kind of a market. So what, as per you, has been the limitations, and what are the aspects that we are targeting to improve, which can, you know, scale us to be a much bigger brand, not specifically maybe the number I mentioned?
I think go-to-market has been a limitation in this, because this product needs... needs a close experience as people buy it. So therefore, and you also haven't seen very large companies coming into this category. So I think e-commerce, direct to consumer commerce, is changing that. And also, to that extent, we may not have been fully able to leverage our national network in the bags business into this, which possibly all other players may not have. So go-to-market is possibly one key pivot on which, you know, scale-up or a brand share in the category can go up on. Yeah, but you're right that this is, globally, this isn't a very fragmented market. So I don't expect consolidation at all to happen. It is a very large space, right? So therefore, you know, even getting within such a fragmented market, a high share or, you know, market leadership will be a very, very strong ambition to take.
Thank you. Mr. Jham, request you to join the question queue for any follow-up. Okay, the next question is from the line of Akhil Parekh from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the, would you be able to highlight what would be the price differential for a luggage, for an unbranded luggage which is arriving from China vis-a-vis, say, a mass branded luggage, basically? And has the price differential between the two declined meaningfully over the last 2 years since the onset of pandemic?
No, I'm afraid I don't think I will be able to give you a specific answer on that, because we haven't tracked a particular product and compared it with this, because the product, you know, two products are not alike. I mean, basis the features, it could be quite differently costed and differently priced, therefore, right? But once again, I would think that it is, there are all reasons to believe that the gap is narrowed. Clearly, let's say a large part of a bag making is high labor cost, and the per hour labor cost in China and in Bangladesh and in India is significantly in favor of first India and then Bangladesh. Bangladesh would be most favorable. So to that extent, that definitely is the difference that should change the cost. The other thing is productivity. Even if you keep the raw material from China as same raw material, right? If at the source, if the raw material price is same to all the three, then there is an advantage to India and Bangladesh over both, you know, labor cost And today we are seeing productivity is coming at par. With there is no major difference in technology. I think productivity is over a period of time. At least in my Bangladesh unit, I'm getting closer to China productivity already.
Okay, sure. This is helpful. And this is a supplementary question to that is, like, we have diversified our supply base and, you know, we have also found vendors based out of India and Bangladesh. What are the challenges which unorganized players might be facing from diversifying their supplies? Because I believe that they were largely dependent on China prior to the pandemic. And because of the disruption at in China, they have not been able to get the enough supplies basically. So any specific challenges which they might be having and they might not be able to get their supplies from Indian and Bangladesh vendors?
Well, they need to then have manufacturers in India and Bangladesh who are scaling up to supply to the to the unorganized sector. So, I mean, that's the challenge in terms of if there is no ready capacity so much that could take over. So, this could be fueling many, setting up of manufacturing happening. I mean, that's something that I'm saying more as a theoretical answer to your question, that is the only way the supplies can happen, and the challenge for them would be to not finding vendors in India or who has the capacity to give them the products that China was giving them.
Sorry, if I understood correctly, I think because they don't have manufacturing base and that's why they're not able to get it from Indian vendors.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't have manufacturing base in the past. That's why the whole industry was going to China.
Got it. And the second and last question is on the gross margins front, right? The value segment continues to do well. Say, hypothetically, if Aristocrat and Alpha reaches that 40% mark of the total sales, will we still be able to achieve that 52-53% of gross margin?
Yes, I think it should be, given that, the prices, raw material prices, and our manufacturing efficiency is going up. The benefit of that will start kicking in, right, as we go along. So I think it will go even if Aristocrat reaches to the mark that we are saying. But as I said, that these are things that are not with one change that will happen. I think it's a gradual change that needs to happen. And one is pushing things in that direction.
Thank you. Mr. Parikh, request to join the queue for any follow-ups. The next question is from the line of Harsha from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So my question from a longer-term point of view, when I look at your presentation, we see that there's a slide there which shows that the organized sector share has increased from 45% in CY19 to 56% in CY22. But when we see, let's say, 3-5 years from now, we are only expecting that to go to 60%. And secondly, even if we look at our penetration, we've covered a lot of ground over the last 3 years, our penetration being 90%. So when we look at the growth in the luggage space over the next 3 to 5 years, if we were to exclude, let's say, exports, how do you see our domestic luggage space grow over the next 3 to 5 years?
I think the industry in terms of value terms should easily grow anywhere between 15% thereabouts CAGR over the next 3 to 5 years. The underlying volume growth could be lesser, but this could be the aggressive side of the growth that I would put. But yeah, expecting a 15% CAGR over the next 5 years, given the India's context, should not be something that we could be shy of.
So 15% is something which you are targeting for the industry and not for the company, right? We can grow at a higher pace given the kind of building blocks we have in place.
Yeah, and depending on the category, what share we have, and yes, of course, but if the industry is growing at that pace and given our share ambition that we would have and continue to have, it will define our growth objective.
Okay. And secondly, how do you look at the within the backpack space? How do you look at the mass segment and our participation and presence there? Because much of the, I mean, unbranded player plays there, and that's a big opportunity for us. But on the flip side, the margins there are quite low. So how do you think of the backpack, the mass value backpack space?
No, you're right. Actually, in every category, there is a low-priced segment, and it is always the largest part of it. So that's why every category looks like a pyramid. But this is not where we would want to, you know, dive into the low-priced ones to begin with, you know, margin. I think for us, there is a huge opportunity to grow in the mid-segment itself, right? And that's what we are targeting to begin with. But yes, there will be something that we will do to trigger people to upgrade from the low price to the mid price.
Okay, so we are not looking to replicate what we've done in Alpha Aristocrat in the luggage space, in the backpack space.
Well, in simple terms, if I was to answer, no.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit Babil from Shipcom Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Couple of questions. So you people are targeting a gross margins of around 52% to 53% in FY24. So what would be the EBITDA margins if you achieve those gross margins?
20%.
Okay, and if I remember correctly, you people were also planning a turnover of around 4,000 crores by FY26, which is around of 25% CAGR. So can we see that traction of 25% revenue growth from FY24 onwards?
I don't know which remark you are talking about. I don't remember having spoken about an FY26 on this. I think it's been more a directional one in terms of the growth. And I maintain what I said in the past. Today, the market is too volatile for us to have a good and a safe prediction for that long. Yes, we are predicting where it could grow more to build our supply chain and all that point of view. And there we are being aggressive so that we build supplies given the good growth rate. But I don't think it's fair to right now discuss in detail about, you know, whether it is 4,000, whether it is 3,500 or 4,500 for that matter.
Okay, but what are the export opportunities you people are foreseeing in the coming years?
So as I said, as of right now, we are more focused in going deeper into the markets we are. Right, but we had roughly about a 100 crore business in exports pre-COVID, and I think we are much more than that coming back in this year itself and closing on. So I think we will take very aggressive growth on this. But compared to what is the size of the opportunity, it is not going to be like, you know, we're wanting to become take a share of the global market and stuff like that. As yet, the focus is very, very large India and the India growth opportunity. But all the markets that where we have high either right to success or already a good foot in the door kind of a thing is where we are going to go deeper. So it will be an aggressive growth in IB that will take in the coming years. Maybe we'll look at about a 250-300 crore business in 2 years' time.
Okay, and sir, lastly, what was the advertisement cost in Q3 versus last year Q3?
30 crore versus 9 crore.
Yeah, 29 versus 9.
Yeah.
29 crores now versus 9 crores last year.
Okay. And as a percentage of sales, what kind of advertisement will you target going forward?
5 to 6%.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So the first question is on modern trade contribution. Pre-COVID, it was 30% and now it's 29. Can you help us understand how much was the Future Group contribution back then? How much is it now in 3Q? And given that these stores are opening up, should we expect a sudden bump up? Going at 4Q onwards?
I'm just getting the numbers for you. But before that, as the stores start, we are seeing the stores which are becoming operational fully. When I say fully, means that, you know, in its full glory, our sales are coming back. So there should be a big bump up that we should get. But also what we saw when Future Group stores were down, in the catchment area, the other stores were able to take the drop in this, and that was a conscious strategy. So I won't expect to have this as a complete, you know, consumption growth, but it will kind of, you know, get into a new equilibrium within the catchment area. As far as your first question is concerned on what was the contribution of
Future Group
to modern trade?
That is 44%.
Future Group to modern trade was 44% pre-COVID.
Yeah.
What is now?
It's about
2022, but we can come back to you with more definitive numbers once we kind of look into this.
Understood.
Right now, to answer, I think it's confirming it's 44 versus 22 as we speak now in Q3.
Yes.
And your market share, I mean, you have a dominant market share within this group, right? I mean, that continues even now?
Yes, it continues in these stores. In fact, in modern trade, because of this Future Group issue, the modern trade team was, you know, pushing gain in market share in weaker accounts like a Vishal Megamart. We went as strong in Vishal Megamart before, and some more entry into some more regional chains. So that's also looking good, much better than what we were before in those weaker chains. But in the larger chains, we continue to have a good share.
Okay, we have some amount. I think 12 crore was mentioned. I'm forgetting the amount that is still pending. Is that supposed to be written off in the future quarters?
Sorry, we are not able to hear your...
12 crores.
The amount that is received, the doubtful, I mean, that's supposed to be written off in the future quarters?
So as of now, we don't have clarity because there are some stocks lying and which is coming back. So we will get clarity only maybe by the end of next quarter.
Okay. And second is on the raw material cost. I thought that the benefits were supposed to play out third quarter onwards because prices peaked up in second quarter. So if you can just help us understand where are the raw material costs right now versus what you have booked in third quarter. So we get a sense of how much of, you know, benefit can flow through. Obviously, I understand you'll pass some bit of it based on the market, etc. But then just to get a sense of where we are.
We got only 1/3 of the benefit, so the benefit started actually coming only in the last month of the quarter, starting.
So also the fact that as of right now, versus what we have with us in terms of stocks and the prices, and you know how luggage industry works is also we got to cover whatever is from China. We got to cover a little ahead in time because of the Chinese New Year and all that.
4 to 5 months of lag.
Yeah, so there is we could work on the exact percentage there, but it is lower, maybe about 4 to 5% price overall weighted average price could be lower in the market today versus what we are operating on,
yeah.
What we are using. Don't hold me to this number. I think it's something that we can check on this and come back to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Neetu Kashiramka from VIP Industries for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you everyone for joining the call and happy Independence Day. Any other clarification you can want? Republic Day.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of VIP Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.